Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. May the Lord give us the grace to understand this word and also live accordingly. In the study of this letter, we find a theme, two themes, opposing themes: light and darkness. Two strong themes. I'll just read a few of them. Three of the verses pointing it out. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's verses 12 and 13 of chapter 1. Verses 21 and 22, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now God has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, blemish and free from accusation. Evil behavior, but now saved. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled them, the written code, with his regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away by nailing it to the cross. Then, verse 20 of chapter 2. Since you died with Christ and the basic principles of this world, why then do you still belong to it? Since then you have been raised with Christ, the death and being raised with Christ, being made alive again, set your heart on things above. So we've got light and darkness, life and death, being forgiven, being slaves of sin. Quite opposites. So the reason for this is that the Word of God wants to teach us that when we become Christians, there is a change of life. We live differently. We live by a new mindset. And that is important that we understand that. In our day and age where there is a bit of a fusion between world and church, the distinction between world and church has become a bit almost like you can't really draw a line these days. Whereas the Bible tells us that when we live in as people of darkness, He takes us out of that darkness and He puts us right in the light. It's opposite lifestyles. So when we then continue in this study of this letter, we now get to important commands that the Bible gives us here this morning. And I've set that out in the sermon notes on the sheet that was handed out to you. First of all, we find the first command. And now keep in mind, as someone said, these commands are not suggestions. It is not like as if we have a bit of counseling here. And the Lord says, well, if you think you are my child, maybe you might consider doing this. These are commands. It is very important that we understand that it's not like we have a choice to do it or not. So first of all, that command coming in chapter 3, verse 1. Set your hearts on things above. Now, unfortunately, the English translation, I think in that instance, is not a bad translation. But I don't think it gives us everything that we might find in the original, which is Greek. When we look at those words where it says, set your hearts, it talks about seek intently. It means to really put your mind on it. Now, when we look at other phrases or verses in the Word of God, when this word is used, we find it like in the parable of the merchant and the pearl. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And what happened there? And the children remember what happened when he eventually got one that was so exceedingly beautiful. What did he do? He went and he sold everything that he had so that he could have money to buy that. You see, he set his mind on it, and it activated him to then do things that would be abnormal, you could say. He set his heart on it. This parable elaborates on his total engagement, which is necessary to attain what one is striving for. And his was the kingdom of heaven. The seriousness of this striving is underlined in the fact that many want to enter through the narrow gate of salvation when for some it won't be possible. We read in Luke chapter 13 verse 24, make every effort. You see, it's the same word. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Because many, I tell you, the Lord says, will try to enter and will not be able to. Make every effort. Now, I think in our day and age where we get things for nothing, we don't understand what this means. Maybe some of the elderly people will understand in the days when, with the Depression, which might happen in our day too, we don't know with all the news we hear, but there were men working, I heard, building dams and other highways, and they were issued in the morning with a pick and a shovel and a wheelbarrow. And how they built that was to all day long put the rocks in a wheelbarrow, and they would push it across and dump it there and come back. And what do they get? 2 and 6 a day. It was hard work. For what reason? Well, I have to feed my family. Maybe we, in our age of consumerism, where everything is just so easy to have, we don't understand this command. Put your heart on it. Set your mind on it. Make every effort. Make every effort. Now the next, on things above, it is to say that now that we are taken out of this kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of light, which is all by the grace of God and it's not something that we can do, what we need to do is now make every effort that our minds would be set on the things of the kingdom that we are now part of. We were once members of this kingdom, but now we are members of this kingdom, of this family. And while we are here by the grace of God, we have not to put our minds on it to become members of this kingdom, because we are already that by the grace of God. But we must, for His glory, and in order to spiritually grow, and in order to be spiritually of use in the kingdom of God, put our minds on things above. Now, it doesn't mean that we should stop living as people on this earth, as some people thought. What you need to do is you go and you build yourself some thing up in the mountains, and that's where you live, and you just put your things on mind of above. No, that's not what it means. It's not going and living in cloisters in secluded parts of the world. It is to say that whatever you do in your life, living now, day after day, you live and you do things as someone who has now a mind of Christ. That takes us to the next command, which is cultivate a heavenly attitude. That is a free translation of what it says there. Set your minds on things above, and then your life is now hidden with Christ, and then you should appear with Him in glory, and then it says here, set your mind on things above. Now, when you look at the background of this, it says, cultivate a heavenly attitude. It is to start living like a Christian. First of all, your thoughts are with Christ, because you saved, you've got a new nature. And to now put that nature into practice is to now cultivate an heavenly attitude of living. It talks about a lifestyle. I even found in one of the dictionaries and the commentators say that we should display something of the nature of the new family that we are members of now. It is a new way of walking. It's a new nature. It is all about cultivating a Christian mindset. It talks about the renewal of the mind to think like Christians, to talk like Christians, and act like Christians. Someone said, let the mind of the master, capital M, be the master of your mind. I thought it was well put. I'm going to say that again. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Every worldview, Christian and non-Christian, deals with at least these three questions. Where do we come from? Or then, added to that, why are we here? Is there something wrong with the world, and what is wrong? And how can we fix it? I stopped at a property this week, and was actually good discussion I had. And this fellow said to me, "You've not come to Bible bash me." I said, "No, I've not come to Bible bash you. I've come to bring good news." And he said, "Well, I'm not really interested in that." I said, "That's okay. But you must keep in mind, I will not Bible bash you, but you must keep in mind, every time you turn on your TV and you read a paper or a book, you are mind bashed." And of course, then we talked about the price of grain and everything else, because I think it did make an impact. Yes, we've got a world view. And this world view for Christians, these three questions: where do we come from and why are we here? What is, if something is wrong with the world, what is wrong with the world? And if there is something wrong, how can we fix it? We answer that as Christians in this way. First of all, where did we come from? Well, we are God's creations designed to govern the world and have fellowship with Him. Second thing is, what is wrong with the world? If there is something wrong with it, yes, we say there is something wrong with it. We have sinned against God and subjected the whole world to a curse. So when I see the weeds out there and the thistles, and you wouldn't believe, in all these dry paddocks, the only thing you can see that is green growing like you wouldn't believe is a thistle. As a reminder of the fact that we live in a world cursed by sin. So, how can we fix it? Well, we can't fix it, but God does. God Himself has redeemed the world through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His Son, and will one day restore creation to its former and even more glorious state when He comes and makes everything new. That's our worldview. A Christian worldview leads us to believe in moral absolutes. We sometimes see miracles happen. We believe in human dignity and the possibility of redemption when we, by grace, hear the gospel calling us to God. So this is our worldview. Now, this is how I should think when I look at things. This is how I should think when I do my business. When I go out there in the world, when I sit in the classroom, and when I study all things, and when I do all things, I should think about it. This world is not perfect. Why? Because we've sinned. And how then can we fix it? Well, it's already fixed in Jesus Christ. So we look at all these things and we say to ourselves, there's only one way out, and that is through Christ. And we look at a new hope. So this is what we need to look, have in mind every time we look at this world. It belongs to God. It doesn't belong to me. I live here for Him, for His glory. Whatever I do, I should do for His glory. Now, I receive on my computer every week or every now and then a research done by a group in America done by... call themselves the Barna Group of people. I don't know if you've heard of that. They do some research. They ring people up and ask them, "What do you think about this?" And they, "What do you think about that?" Every now and then they come up with things. And you know what? There's a huge percentage of Christians in America calling themselves born again Christians. But when it comes to living the Christian life, well, a huge percentage of them, and I can't give you the exact number, for one thing, a huge percentage of them would not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They call themselves born-again Christians. They don't believe in the sanctity of marriage anymore. A huge percentage of them would believe that it's possible to have an abortion. You see, it's when we don't have a mindset that is controlled by the Word of God, a mindset that is controlled by the Holy Spirit because of this huge change that took place in our life, then we're going nowhere. And we don't have any effect on the world we live in. So if we can understand this, that we should keep in mind that we've got membership and citizenship in heaven now, that while we live on earth, the way we should live here is to do things in accordance of our membership and our citizenship in heaven, then I think we will be like salt in this world and light in this world. Otherwise, we won't be. We won't be, because we will be thinking like people who are still in darkness. We will be thinking like this world, and the Bible calls this worldliness. Worldliness. Christians cannot be worldly. Christians should be heavenly. And that's the point that we need to understand from these commands. The third word, put to death your old nature. In verse 10 we read, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its Creator. The Apostle Paul also writes in Ephesians chapter 4, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and be made new in the attitude of your minds, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So put to death your old nature. Verse 5 of our chapter puts it this way. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your worldly nature. Put it to death. Kill it. If we want to be a bit blatant here, kill it. We will fight against all sorts of desires. That's there. But we have to kill it. We have to understand that it's dead. We have to put everything into place to say no and kill it. A lady came to a minister one day and she said, she confessed to him that she got involved in a relationship with another man. And it's now gotten to the point that this man is demanding of her to divorce her husband. And it's become a real, real messy thing. The minister listened very carefully. And then he said to her, there's one way out. Someone will have to be killed. When he said this to her, her eyes just went like unbelievable. She said, I don't want it to come to this. I don't want this to happen. And he said, you understand me wrongly. You will have to die before Christ. Put to death your sinful nature. And once you understood that, it was easier to work through the thing.
we have to understand that as Christians, we have a new nature. And the old nature will not inherit the kingdom. I find it extremely interesting that although the gospel has come to us and said, now that you have been raised with Christ, now that you have died with Him, past tense, it comes to us in the present tense with the command and says, put to death. It is to fight against it every day. Then the fourth command, clothe yourself with a new nature. You have to put it on. You have to accept it. And you have to apply what has happened in your heart and in your mind to your daily walk and daily life. God's children are called to live holy lives. Lives having its origin in God and therefore are in opposition with the flesh. It is in opposition with the world. It is different in all aspects and respects of life. Christians talk differently. That's why the apostle writes in this, he says, keep the filthy language from your lips and don't lie towards one another. Christians talk differently. Christians think differently. Christians and their relationships are different. They work differently. You can go through this chapter as we will study it as it comes. They work differently. They react differently to slander and malice. Their marriages are different. And their families are different. Christians are God's people out of darkness now in light. And that's the point. We can keep proclaiming the grace of God, but if we do not, in the end, accept that grace and apply it, we failed. We failed. Man is not born in an innocent, neutral state. That's what we get all the time, that I'm born in a neutral state, and therefore I can choose between right and wrong. And when God does something to me, something that I might argue would not deserve it, I would be angry with God. I'm not neutral, I'm born in sin. Somewhere between good and bad, no, I'm not there. I'm bad. I have a natural possibility to only sin and not do good. The sinister power of sin needs the members of the mortal body in order to accomplish the actual doing of wrong. Sin needs my body. And now I have to deny my body to sin. And I must make it available for service in Christ. Therefore, I must kill the old. And I must put on the new. Because sin, if given the little finger, it corrupts the soul and destroy everything precious. It can destroy marriage, relationship, trust, direction, greed, and all these things can destroy a good relationship. And therefore the Lord says, keep in mind, these things are idolatry. Idolatry. We must keep in mind that the Lord says that wrath of God is a reality. It is a reality. We can only think of the days of Noah, or we can only think of the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm not going to say more about this because you know that. And therefore, how do we get this into action? Three words that I want you to remember from the Word of God. One, first word is bear
B-E-A-R-B-A, which means self-restrained and patient endurance, accepting God's will and listening to Him. Bear with one another. Second thing, forgive as Christ has forgiven. How is He forgiven? He cancelled the written code, which with its regulations was against us and stood against us, and He took it away by nailing it on the cross. What happened in the process? He gave His life. That is the way we should forgive. We should forgive one another our grievances. We should love one another as Christ loved us. And to make it possible, we must, and that's the third word, love as Christ has loved us. When we practice these things, we will understand that we can move on in our spiritual life and our spiritual journey. May the Lord help us to, with everything that we have, search and follow and put our mind on it to live like Christians. Someone said to me, I don't believe in religion because religion has brought too much problems in our day. I said, how's that? You have to explain, because I'm at loss for words here. You have to explain to me. And he said, well, I can't think that one group of people can pray in the name of God, thanking them for the bombs that they could plant and kill others, while others could pray in the name of God and thanking that at last those who did that were killed. He said, I'm confused. I said, why are you confused? He said, because it all happened in the name of religion. I said, well, do you work it out that these two things stand opposed to one another? He said, yes. I said, so, well, someone is praying to the wrong God. He said, well, I have to admit, yeah, that's right. He said, but nevertheless, I don't want to talk about these things as long as we're good. As long as we're good, I'm okay. Well, he's not. To live as a Christian. Now, let's just forget about all the people out living there in the streets and the highways and the byways. And let's just talk about ourselves today. Do we live as Christians? Or are we just good? No. The gospel message is this, and with that I conclude. You have been raised from the dead, and you have become members of the kingdom of light. Put your minds on it to live like children of the light. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we could hear the gospel again. And Father, we must confess that so easily we can give in to the desires of our flesh. We can be worldly, and we can be driven by the desires of lust and all these other things that we've heard about this morning. Lord, we confess our sins, and we pray that with eagerness and with single-mindedness, we will pursue righteousness already given to us in Christ. In His name we pray this. Amen.